Hello, listener, and welcome to the second half of our big time season review. If you're listening to this one and you missed out on the first half where we reviewed Armidale, Balcatta, Bayswater, Floreat, Fremantle and Inglewood, you can check that out on our feed. If it's anything to go by, we're already getting comments and messages talking about how we've disrespected teams by saying that they might, you know, not struggle in their first season in the NPL and comfortably finish ninth. So I can't wait for all the other teams to hear where we put them as well. So yeah, rate, review, like, subscribe, and do all of that stuff. We're going to start making our podcast regularly on the Tuesday. So make sure you've, you know, clicked on the subscribe button and clicked on the notification to make sure that every Tuesday morning it's at your feed, ready to go for your commute into work. Take care and enjoy the show.
The Perth Football Podcast is proudly brought to you by Macron Store Perth, an industry leader in quality teamwear specialising in grassroots, semi-pro and professional team attire. Visit the Macron Sports Hub Perth Facebook page for more. Thank you to Macron for helping us keep the pod running and for their continuous involvement in community sport.
Get it. We'll transition to a team who thinks they're absolutely going to get it this year. And that is Kingsway, Olympic Kingsway. I've got them as Kingsway, not Olympic Kingsway, which kind of screws the order, but I've got them as Kingsway right now. So that works. That absolutely works.
Kingsway Olympic.
I think also Olympic Kingsway works as well because it's LMNOP. Either way, it works. But yeah, they've had quite a few signings in Singara. They've had another signing, of course, in Liam Boland, who hasn't played a minute. Joe Knowles, who scores goals. And the Ian Williams as well. Those are the signings that I've got on the top of my head. Am I missing any, Tommy?
Adrian Sinagra,
yep. And Ryan Lowry.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, look, guys, give us your thoughts on the big spenders. Where do you see them this season? We'll go to you, Tommy, to start.
For me, they're right at the very top. They're a top two team with Red Star, spoiler alert, but we said it last season on many podcasts is that they're the best team between the box. They were the best team between the boxes last season. They've added to that midfield depth with Aaron Williams, who just gives them a different look. He just gives them some different combinations to play in there. So they've got options running through there.
He's been playing centre half so far in the preseason as well.
Yeah, but he's versatile and capable of doing both, which is a massive thing to have in your string to your bow, I suppose. Boland and Knowles, that they just speak for themselves. Just firepower galore. And I think that's going to... I mean, for me, the firepower wasn't really the issue last season because Kieran Byrne had a great season. He's one that has departed along with Joe Pollard. Dave Keenan moved on as well to Sorrento. A few of the experienced guys, Dave Perich as well. But for me, the interesting thing with Kingsway this season, and I feel like I say this every time I see them, but I absolutely love Liam Murray as a footballer. And I just think if it clicks for Liam Murray, a little bit like what you were saying before about Chad Nielsen, Kelechi, he's got the technical ability and he's got the flair and he's got the footwork to really cause damage, to get double figures in goals and double figures in assists. I'd love to see him have that breakout season because I think if he can do that, then I think for me, Kingsway are going to be right up there in contention for the title this season. They've basically got everything everything in their artillery that they need to launch a title challenge this season. And I'm very excited to see what it looks like 3, 4, 5 weeks into the season when it's all clicking.
Josh,
yeah, I think. You know, one or two or three. I think they're gunning for those roles.
Give us a number.
Let's say two. Let's say two.
Josh hates Kingsway.
I don't hate. How can I hate Kingsway if I put them two? I don't even hate Kingsway. I don't even hate Tyler Garner, but I was actually hoping that Tommy would come on here with the stats on how many goals Tyler Garner scored in the league last season. Is that something that you've got either on your computer or in your head?
There weren't as much as Gogsy, I'll tell you that much.
I'll have a look and get back to you. But yeah, finish your Kingsway point, Josh.
Yeah, obviously the signings they've made are hugely impressive. But something that's got to be noted is that they've re-signed Mitch Oxburgh as well, who they pulled in the transfer window last season. And that was really what propelled them, because they just added another string to their bow in midfield by playing him as kind of the ball carrier alongside, you know, Josh Sampson as the workhorse and Tyler Garner as the creator and the dribbler. It was really when Oxburgh came in that they sort of made that charge for the title last season. So to have those three in midfield and then have strengthened up top, and they've still got so much quality out wide in Murray and Sasha Negic and a couple other players they can throw in there, James Finelli. You know, you're pretty impressed. And they were solid at the back as well. I think, you know, Sinagra is an upgrade in goals from my estimation, obviously former Perth Glory keeper, and was hugely impressed by their defence last year. And they're obviously adding Lowry in there to compete with Daniel Walsh and Shane Cassidy.
Yeah, so I think what they've done with Boland, who we still haven't seen, and Knowles is just an absolute game changer. Knowles looked completely different class, different gravy. He looked like he could do whatever he wanted with the ball whenever he wanted to do it. And I think touching on your point there about potentially seeing more from Liam Murray this year is, if teams have to key on a front three of Boland, Knowles and Murray, one of them is going to be free and open. And it wouldn't surprise me to see teams give Murray a little bit more space. And if you're leaving him isolated one-on-one, then all the best. He does need to do a little bit more in terms of actually converting those chances and making them into goals. But you could see a situation there where they're playing a match with Knowles, Boland, Garner, Murray as a front three, and that's just absolutely frightening. Like, how do you kind of contend and cope with that? So I've actually got them finishing top. I think all they needed last year was to kind of take that next level and score those goals. And I think they're going to have that firepower this year. I think that's absolutely what they're gunning for in terms of the transfers that they've made. And I think that it wouldn't be the best season for them if they've been true and honest. I think that if they finished second or third, they'd probably be disappointed. Any more to add in the last 10 seconds we've got? Nothing further, Your Honor. Next up, we've got Perth Glory. What do we make of the absolute roller coaster of Perth Glory? I looked at the team sheets. I've literally got two team sheets. I've got a team sheet right now with me. And on the team sheet, there is 35 different players, because that's how many players they used in this Night Series campaign. And I thought that they were pretty good in the Night Series campaign. They've worked a whole lot on trying to get a little bit more composure in the matches. And in the most hilarious way, speaking to John Wormsley, there was like a 5-4 game that they won, or a 4-3 game that they won. And I was like, you told me you're trying to compose things down. You've just won 5-3. What's going on? He goes, well, no, trust me, that was probably the most composed 5-3 you'll ever see. So what do you guys make of Perth Glory in the season that they're going to have? Josh, we'll start with you.
It seems like we're getting a little bit more of the same from them. I think that the one thing that's a positive for them is that a couple of those centre backs that they had last year are, you know, another year older, another year more experienced. I mean, they would have been playing Andreanu Labib quite a lot last season as a 16-year-old. I think James Overy was maybe still 15 when he was playing the league. He's obviously swung more into an attacking role. To see, you know, those players get an extra year under their belts to then unleash them on the competition this year, I think that they're going to take another step forward. I mean, I'm not sure where I've got sort of points, sort of places on the ladder, because I don't have any of this written down, but I think I would have had them in like a somewhere between fifth and eighth.
Fifth and eighth, wow. That's a huge season. Tommy,
I think they were there and thereabouts last year. They just had that dip in form sort of midway through the season, and then they had a bit of confusion in terms of players coming in and out of the squad from the top level. And I think that the new owners actually at the club and the sense of stability that should give in general is going to be a positive as well.
Cool. Tommy, what have you got, Perth Glory?
Perth Glory are always the hardest team to get a read on every single season. I feel like I have the same conversations with everybody every preseason because there's just always so much change with their roster, essentially. And there's always the factor that someone like Kalen Majekadumi, like Joel Anasmo, like Jaden Gorman, like Aki Sukumoso could drop into that team during the season. And then the outlook is completely different to what they currently have at the moment, which, as it stands, is a very young team. A lot of guys like Judd McDoodle, Shade Stewart, Matty George, Christian Belladonna,
Danny Douglas, Jordan Kelly,
Danny Douglas have all moved on.
Matty George, yeah.
They've picked
Josh
up Sean O'Connor.
They had at the start of last season.
Yeah, they've picked up Sean O'Connor, Theo Leeming, and Oliver Leeming, all from Red Star. And they've also promoted heavily from their under-20s in the film of Gert Prinsloo, Ruben Argent, Daniel Yankolovsky, Sam Barry, Santi Flores, top scorer in the league. One of the top scorers in the league last season at under-18s level. Christian Despotovsky, Melissa Mpunga. There's a few others as well. They're just always such a hard read to get on, to sort of get a read on in a sense. I worry about them a little bit this season. I wonder whether they're too young. But obviously that dynamic can change as the season wears on, as some of those A-League guys do become available around May or June. And then suddenly you're looking at a completely different kettle of fish. I have them down towards the bottom this season only because they're young, but it also wouldn't surprise me if the dynamic changed and they were suddenly in the top half comfortably with a view on the top 4 to 6 come the end of the season. It's just such a rabbit in a hat, this Glory team. But I just worry a little bit that they're maybe too young and can they get results early in the season? But what we do know is they're going to play good football. They're going to go for it. They're going to be fun to watch. And I think there are some games that they are going to pull out of the fire and that they are going to win invariably just because of the way they play football. So to cut a long story short, I don't have an effing clue where Glory are going to finish this season. But my gut instincts is telling me that they're going to be sort of down around that position where they're looking to avoid the playoff this season just because of how young they are right now.
So, yeah, I've kind of got them in the same spot, right? I think my reasoning is a little bit different. I just think, like, when you have 35 players, it's very hard to get form. It's very hard to get consistency. It's very hard to get connections and making things as connected as possible, right? So I think that's going to be the big determining factor for them. But in a weird way, I actually think that their team might be a little bit older than last year, because I think last year they had that whole issue with the registration process right at the start of the year where it kind of left them going, who are we going to register? But if they've got Adriano Labib's class, they're going to be absolutely fine. Like that kid is an absolute baller. And in a really weird way, Aki Sukumoto played all of the night series games. So I'm not too sure. Again, will he be available for the entire season? Will he not? But I do think that they're going to end up, like Tommy says, last game of the season, second to last game of the season, knowing that if they get the right results, they're going to stay up. And also, like, do they keep the likes of Lat Matiang? What happens with him? What happens with Jacob Murr? What happens with James Overy as well? If they've got these guys playing week in, week out, then I can see them actually rising up towards that top half of the table. But if it's Lat, James Overy in 1 week, but they're not back for another 3 weeks, then I think that's where it's going to struggle for them. No more for our Perth Glory, gentlemen. All right, let's get straight into Perth Red Star. The Red Star comes before the SC. Perth Red Star, who had quite a few signings in themselves this year. They have had Dennis Gallen join them. They've had Matty George join them. They've had a guy called Joel Chianese. Yep, former Perth Glory footballer Joel Chianese join them. They've also had Andrew Palmer join them as well. Guys, they've got potentially the greatest striker that ever played in the NPL. scoring goals for them. They've got Bryce Baffert, who resigned for them as well. Oh, and they are the defending league champions after climbing the mountain for the first time. And they've already got silverware this season as well, winning the night series. So they might be okay this season, you reckon, Tommy?
Yeah, I think they'll stay up, Kelechi. Look, I had one concern about Red Star going into this season, and that concern was who was going to replace Andy Higgins and Ellis Heeling in terms of that craft in midfield. But the night series final answered my question. Matty George was outstanding, and obviously he's a young player, and it would be unfair to put too much expectation and pressure on him. But what I think they have been able to do is they have been able to find a formula where you're going to probably see a few of those guys running through there throughout the season. Perhaps Andrew Palmer may play a little bit more advanced as that box-to-box guy who's going to join the attack. We saw little glimpses of that where he'd win the ball from deep and then sort of be that extra runner from midfield. You've got Lewis Tucker as well, who was a mid-year signing last season. We didn't really see much of him, but potentially he's going to be a bit more heavily involved this season. We saw him come off the bench briefly. And then you've also got Joel Chianese, who, whilst he will probably start on the left-hand side in the Chuck Dow role from last year, I think there's also a prospect where perhaps he could play a little bit more centrally. So too Sonny O'Shea. So I just think my main concern was when you lose the experience and you lose the craft and you lose somebody who knits it all together, as well as Andy Higgins did, just a classy operator and for me, one of my favourite players to watch in the leagues over the years. But I was less worried having seen them in the flesh properly on Friday night. Mm. And as a result, they're not going anywhere this season. They're going to be in a bit of a dogfight, I think, because I think some teams below them have improved significantly, but they're not going anywhere. They're going to be top two for me, without a doubt.
Well, hold on. If they're not going anywhere, does that mean that they win the league? Because that would mean that they don't go anywhere. That means they just stay exactly where they are. I'm trying to see if we can get Tommy off this fence.
Yeah, well, it's recency bias, and it's probably not the hottest take given that they were the league champions last year, but they are still the team to beat, yes.
Yeah, for sure. And are you, Josh?
Yeah, I got them at number one as well, and that's like 100% recency bias from the weekend. you look at how Kingsway have strengthened, and I was going into it thinking, Kingsway have strengthened, Bayswater have strengthened. This might be a challenge for Red Star. No Chuck Dow. He was so instrumental when he had that run where he scored 7 goals in 7 games. And you think about the issues with that. Well, they didn't really have Ellis Heeling last year anyway, but losing Andy Higgins to retirement. But when you then go back and I actually had a state league footballer who was talking to me before who shall remain nameless, who was talking to me before the night series final after the state league night series final and was saying, I reckon Red Star have really, I reckon that, you know, that they're weaker this year. They're falling off. And then they came out and put in that performance in the second half. Matty George is a really great pickup. I know lots of people at Perth Glory were very high on him. And, you know, it's a shame for him that he didn't manage to progress up to the first team. But he's still young, and if he puts in more performances like he did in the night series final on the weekend, he'll certainly pop up back on the radar of professional football clubs. And Gallen and Palmer are really good, solid veteran signings for them as well, that give them a strong backbone and in goals as well. You know, you can't get much better than Liam Reddy with all the experience he's had in the A-League, and he showed just how important he's going to be this season with that massive save that he made off the header in the Bayswater game that, you know, there was questions about whether it went over the line, but whether it went over the line or not, it was a sensational stop regardless.
The other thing I like about Red Star as well is they know how to click it up a gear. We saw it last season when they were a little bit flat at times. They know how to turn it on. And for me, they are the best team in the whole league at playing with different styles. They can play a counter-attacking game. They can play a possession game. They are a multifaceted team, and that is why they're so unique. And that's down to coaching. That's down to team cohesion. And obviously incorporating some of these younger guys might take a little bit of time. Maybe it won't, based on what we saw from Matty George at the weekend. But yeah, that's also the reason why they're favourites for me.
Look, I know I've got them in second place, but I do think that it's going to be a very, very tight season. And in a really crazy way, I was down there when they were playing Armadale and speaking to some of the coaching staff, and they said, well, we actually think we're better than we were last year. And I did not believe them, but I believe them now. I think with Palmer, with George, and with Hughes, they've clearly got the best ball-playing midfield in the league. I think those boys can do a bit of everything that you need. I like the look of Bryce Bafford. Hopefully he can stay fit. Joel Chianese is, again, different gravy. They've got the best goal scorer the league has ever seen as well, right? So I don't think it's, oh, and by the way, Nick Walsh just masquerades as an attacking midfielder every now and then from fullback. Ryan Finney is absolutely class. I think he's probably the best overall defender in the league in terms of playing center back, right back, fullback if he needed to, probably do a job in defensive midfield if he needed to as well. So I don't think it's a case of them just not having that quality. I think maybe they just don't have enough luck this year. I think maybe it could be a case of injuries. I think maybe it could be a case of we've already won the league. We're going to just take that 2% off, and that's the 2% that of hunger that someone else needs to kind of get them over the line. So I do see a terrific season for them. I think that they'll be there, thereabouts. I think it might be the last game of the season. They kind of decides it like it did this year, except without a positive 20-goal difference. Last words on Red Star, Josh and Tommy?
Oh, I mean, I was going to echo largely what you said about Nick Walsh and Finney. And also Tom Hoff, who, because they've got so much talent in the midfield this year, he actually got pushed to right back when he came on the weekend. So you've actually got, you know, multiple players in the defence who can step into midfield and create that overload. And I don't think there's a lot of teams in the league that have players that not only can go and do that positionally, but also have the technical ability to make it work.
Awesome. Look, we'll go into Perth SC, who I'm sure no one's got any idea what is going on with them or know where to put them, because I had a hard time knowing where to put them. They've had quite a bit of transfers. They've even had players who are on their list of 23 who I've heard aren't playing in that team anymore. They've had players who they've announced who have been signed who are not there anymore. So yeah, I've got no idea what to make of Perth. I have seen them twice this season, and I think they were both draws. But yeah, Tommy, what have you make of Perth FC? What have you heard from the grounds?
Well, I think it's going to be – I think we're going to see a lot of what we saw last season from Perth under Danny Hay and the style of football that he brought upon his arrival. Obviously, they've strategically gone in a different direction this season in terms of the early morning training. They've obviously gone for a younger team. A lot of young guys who – have come in who perhaps have aspirations of playing at that higher level and see Perth and see Danny Hay as that opportunity to sort of press on to the next level and their best place in their eyes to have that education to push on to the next level. And perhaps maybe if Perth Soccer Club do have an interest down the line, I know we're talking a long way out, but if they do have an interest in joining the National Second Division down the line, then that's clearly something that they're maybe looking to build towards as well in terms of having that young squad. But, I mean, you look at Daniel Fakeney, Judd McDougall, Joe Pollard, Christian Belladonna, all these young guys that we've sort of half mentioned before that have left other clubs. But they've also brought in some experience as well. They've brought Harley Orr back from Victoria. He's a big addition. He's a real leader. And I think he's going to step into the void that sort of you Jordan DeLeo's and these guys have left in terms of that leadership void. Some interesting new players as well, like Jack Corley, who we don't know too much about.
Ben Stroud as well.
We've only seen them in passing during the preseason, so it'll be interesting to see them with a little bit more of a sample size. I think they're really interesting this season, and I tend to agree with you, Kalichi, in terms of predicting them. I think they're going to be obviously fine from being in any sort of trouble at the bottom. My gut instinct tells me they're going to be smack bang in the middle of mid-table, around sixth. But again, if things go well for them, as I've said about a few teams this season, like Fremantle, like Armadale, then it wouldn't surprise me to see them in the top four like we did at the end of last season.
Joshy?
Yeah, I guess like you said there, Tommy, that they were so so in danger for a lot of last season. You actually forget that they had that run at the end and made it into the top four. You know, Danny Hay is a very experienced coach. Obviously, you can't go much further than being an international team manager and to have a coach of that level of experience coaching in the local NPL competition is a real fillip for the side, and the connections obviously that he's got to football in New Zealand, because he's been able to pluck players from over the other side of the ditch and bring them all the way over to Perth. I didn't get to see a lot of them in pre-season, to be honest, but one thing that we know with the Perth team last year is that they were very adaptable. They had a way of playing, and then they changed it to suit the players that they had and the conditions that they had and the way that the league was structured. And the one thing that we didn't touch on, or you didn't touch on before there, Tommy, is, you know, do they get that full season out of David Ninkovic, where they really get to unlock his ability? He played a lot as a lone striker, where he just clearly had the better of his man pretty much every time he went out and played. But then it was that finishing touch. It was putting the ball in the back of the net or creating the chance with the final pass. And if he gets that string to his bow, there's really, you know, not a lot of limits to where he can go. And he'll be the metronome, I think, for Perth as well, how he performs.
Look, I'm going to be really impressed with them, like, looking at the potential that they've got. Ethan Banks is in for a really good season. He looked really lively in the night series when I saw him. Didn't get to see a lot of Sam Cook, but he's our favorite soul chef, so to say. And they've also signed Daniel Fakeney as well from Stirling. So I think that they're going to have the firepower. They've also got Abdullahi Osman. And Josh Carler is back playing. So good to see him back. Good to see him playing. So I think that everything is there, right? Like, I think everything is there for them to be challenging for the top four or challenging for the league, depending on if things go right and David Ninkovic becomes a 15-goal player. But at the same time, dare I say you don't win anything with kids, so to speak? Like, what is that going to look like? How does it all kind of shape up? So, you know, will they be as consistent as they'd like to be throughout the entirety of the season? Is Joe Pollard ready to be a big-time number one in the league as well? So there's just a lot of question marks, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say around them. So I've got them finishing fifth, just outside their big-time rivals, Bayswater City. So we'll see how it goes. But like you said, Tommy, if things go right for them, then it's easily them in the top four as well. And I love that we can say that about, like, nine teams in this league too. One of the teams that hopefully will be interesting to see where you guys see them is Stirling Macedonia. They've had some big-time transitions in there as well. They don't have Bosdit anymore. They don't have Luke Palmateer, but they did go in and sign Shade Stewart, Danny Douglas. They did bring in Karen Byrne. And yeah, looking at the rest of it, Kai Matthews has come back after going away. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all kind of works out for them. But they are a team that is really together. They work really hard. They're incredibly tough to beat. And I genuinely believe that if we were to take the top four and make them play a tournament, I reckon they'd probably win that tournament. I think where they've struggled is against everybody else, so to speak. So, Josh, we'll go to you first. Tell us what you think of Stirling Macedonia, and where they're going to finish or be around this season.
Well, I've got them in fourth. I think they've still got the bones of the side that they had for most of the NPL era. I think the question mark is just how big of an impact is it really pulling the spine out of that defense? Because you've got James Bosnett's gone, you've got Luke Palmateer's gone,
Hershey Yankolovsky.
And he's gone to one of their big rivals then. Hershey Yankolovsky signed overseas, and also their backup center back last year. McGowan, he's gone to Sorrento. So pretty much everybody that was a component of that back three, so to speak, the goalkeeper and the centre backs for the last couple of years, which has clearly been the best defensive unit in the competition, they're all gone now. So the question is, can Fergie get the most out of the young players that are going to be playing in those positions, or potentially Dion Spaseski if he has to drop back? And
he has been playing at centre back this season, and I think he'll be there for the season as well.
Yeah, and obviously they've got all that quality in midfield that they've got to fit in, so it probably helps them out a little bit in terms of balancing the midfield if they can get him, Giles Davies, Cade Fernall, Calvin Whitney, and everybody else in there all on the pitch together. It's just going to be fascinating to see whether they can continue to be the defensive rock that they've been without the players that were central to making that happen.
Tommy?
Yeah, look, I went big on Sterling last year. They were my tip to win the league. I'm a big believer in Ian Ferguson. I think he's one of the best coaches at local level, and I think you're always going to get a very competitive Sterling team, no matter the situation. I think Kieran Byrne's a big in for them up front. I think they struggled to have that linchpin for the majority of last season. They rolled a few guys through in that false nine position, the likes of Asher Nelson, Alex Tanevski at times. They had Kingsley Eshin as well, who had some games where he looked really good and other games where he just wasn't quite up to speed. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all sort of meshes. But the most surprising thing that I came across in my sort of notes that I was doing before is that despite those losses that Josh mentioned of Bozdet, Palmatier and Jankulowski, they only conceded 4 goals in the group stage of the night series, which surprised me given those losses. But then it doesn't surprise me because we know Sterling are well organized. We know they're well coached and we know they're going to be there, thereabouts. And you can probably speak to this in a moment, Kalichi, but you saw them in the semi-final against Red Star the other week in that game that did go to penalties. And from what you were saying to me at the final on the weekend, I think you were pretty convinced as well that it's business as usual in a sense for Sterling in terms of what we're going to see from them in season 2024. So, yeah, I did have some initial concerns, and they were a team that were on my radar as one who would potentially slide. But having put all those factors together and sort of done a little bit more sort of looking into it in terms of the numbers and what they've done in the preseason, they had a pretty tough, they were in the tougher side of the draw in the night series as well, in my opinion, as well with Perth, with Bayswater. As well, so it's going to be interesting. But I agree with Josh. I have them down as fourth. But they are the team for me that if Fremantle, Perth, Armidale can sort themselves out, then they're the team that are vulnerable for me. But I trust Ian Ferguson, and I trust what Sterling have done over the past few seasons, and I'm not willing to give up on them that easily yet.
So I think they've got all the parts to win the league, right? I saw them play with David Stoko and Dejan Spasiewski at centre-half, and they looked really, really good. Danny Douglas and Cade Fennell, they are really monstrous midfielders. And when you had Calvin Whitney in the 10, it looked even better, right? I think it would look even better if it was Cade Fennell, Giles Davies, and Danny Douglas in that midfield, and you kind of had Calvin floating it in the old classic free roll that you would have in international superstar soccer pro. But I think the big thing for them is, can Asher Nelson, Alex Anevsky, Sam Wynn, can they contribute to goals? Because if those guys are getting the goals, if they all get 7 goals each, if Calvin keeps getting the 10 goals that he gets, and if Burner can get double figures, I legitimately think they win the league. I do not doubt it, because against every, when it's a big time game, they all have big time players for big time games. Their big issue is what happens when we're playing Florida Athena away. What happens when they're playing Perth Glory away? Their big issue was losing points to everyone else. What happens when they played Inglewood and they had that like absolutely disastrous result? That's where I think kind of lets them down. And if they can get that sorted this year, that'll help them. But Bozdet is a huge loss. Jankulowski is a huge loss. And so is Palmatier. But I do believe in them. I do believe in their team spirit. I think it's going to be a very, very tight league and they finish third. But I think it literally is 3 or 4 points that separates Olympic Kingsway, Perth, Red Star, and Stony Macedonia.
And who wastes time and gets in the opponent's head for that team with James Bozdet out? Who steps up and takes up the mantle that James Bozdet has left behind?
Calvin Whitney can do a good job of that. So can Brett Quick. I think Brett Quick is absolutely quality, by the way. I think he is. I think it's him and Chris Adelakis, who are the best fullbacks in the league. I rate them so much, and I think he's going to have a great year. I do think, again, I just think if they can, if Tanevski, if Sam Wynn and Asher Nelson can each get 7 goals in the league this year, then I think they probably win the league. And last but not least, Western Knights. I've actually seen them play, and they looked absolutely terrific. They had some huge signings to join them this year. Alex Arocca joined them in from Perth SC. Christian Santich, of course, has joined them. Daniel Santich has joined them. Jesse Lozaro has joined. They did lose, I think it's, I'm not sure if it's completely confirmed right now, but I think it was Kretters who was in that team. I'm not too sure if he's still there anymore. And he was a top goal scorer from last year. And yeah, I think that's a tough loss. I think they've also got Justin Tangen from Coburn, if I'm correct about that as well, Tommy. Thanks for nodding. So we'll go with you, Tommy. What are your thoughts on Western Knights? Because generally, I think they build up so well. They build up so pretty. They look like another version of that Red Star Olympic Kingsway in terms of how they progress the ball. They played in this really tidy diamond midfield formation, which is just absolutely naughty. As a North Perth player who played in the diamond, it's so cool to see that diamond in the NPL. And if they can get goals, I think they'll be dangerous.
Yeah, so I'll caveat everything that I say by the fact that Western Knights are the only team I've not seen recently. So I'm a little bit in the dark, I suppose, in terms of drawing any hasty or strong conclusions. But you're right about those additions, and these are good ball-playing footballers, and they are guys who have the ability, as we've seen in the NPL before, in Christian Santich and Jesse Lozaro, to make impacts on games. I think Sam Riley as well, young goalkeeper, former Glory Academy stopper and Perth Soccer Club as well. I think he's a good inclusion. They've got some depth in De Rocca. They've got Shay Donovan as well, who was at Stirling previously. And a very interesting signing as well. They've got Xavier Medica, who's come across from Flory Athena's under-18s. Now, he scored an absolute boatload of goals last season. I'm going to just try and sort of half get it up on my screen at the moment while we're talking, because I reckon he had a very prolific year. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. He got 20 goals last season for the under-18s. So he's a player who it's going to be interesting to see whether he can step up and be that regular goal scorer that I think the Knights are going to need if they are to push into the top half of the league by season's end. But as things stand, given that I've not seen them yet, I'm not going to condemn them to relegation. I'm not going to say they're going to make the top four. But just by looking at the quality they've got on their roster, and also as well, this is a Knights team and a Knights environment which have been waiting to
a huge community,
flight.
Yeah.
They've been waiting to return to the top flight for a long time as well. I think they've had a few near misses in recent seasons, and I think they will be going out there with a point to prove, and I think their fans will be really up for it as well, and that community aspect, as you say, as well, Kalichi. So I think Nashfield's going to be a bit of a fortress for them this season, and on that basis, along with the talent they've got on the pitch, I think they're going to be comfortably safe, and I don't think there's really a massive argument about that, albeit we say it with the caveat that it probably is going to be tight and that a bad run of form at a bad time can leave you maybe looking down at the teams below you.
Joshy?
Yeah, same boat as Tommy, because I never got to see them in preseason. I didn't watch a lot of them last season. And, but it would be the really basic, obvious thing to just go, oh, it's the teams that have come up like them and Frio that they're going to struggle and go back down. But I don't think that's the way it works in this league. I think that we saw the last couple of seasons, all the teams that have come up from the league below have basically gone straight into the top three. So you've got to look at some of the signings they've made and think that they've strengthened the squad. It's interesting you brought up Xavier Medica, Tommy. I think the last player we saw really make that direct leap from 18s straight into the NPL proper, the first team after a big goal-scoring season was probably Gordon Perkins at Armidale a couple of years ago where he was just a ready-made player. So if they can pick up a player like that who you wouldn't have been looking at as a big signing, then that's a bonus for them. I think that Christian Santich, he's back in. Is that right, Kalichi? He's back in the league?
Yeah, he's playing. In the game that I saw, he played kind of right side of the diamond and he was overlapping with his brother. And believe it or not, they've got some really good chemistry on that right-hand side as brothers.
They have a sister who can play as well, right?
I think she's better than the both of them, if I'm honest. I don't know if she's plays anymore though. But yeah, no, I got down and I saw them, and the coach Adam, he's got them in a really, they play really good football. They build up play, and honestly, I think for a good 40 minutes there against Armadale, they absolutely battered them, but they couldn't score. And that's where I'm looking at them being like, all right, if you had a goal scorer, if they had if they had Oli Ligalia and Robert Petkov up front in this team, then I would pick them for the top four because they'd have goals. And they look like a really good side between the boxes, just like we would say about Olympic Kingsway and about Perth Red Star as well. I think for them, what will hurt them is, can they get those goals? They've also got Jesse Lazaro playing in that midfield position too. So, yeah, it's a nice diamond. Jack Bardsley, Alex Araka, Jesse Lazaro, and Christian Santich all playing and rotating. It looks terrific. They press really well. They're really well organized. They are not going to struggle. And I think the other thing that we kind of mentioned as we wrap this all up is the teams who have come up, they do have this institution. They do have this muscle memory of winning. They are used to winning games. They're used to dogging results out. They're used to playing in a high performance, a peak performance environment, we might say. And, you know, when they do go up to the next league, I don't think a whole lot changes. They're not, you know, sides who are used to like battling relegation kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't think that they're going to struggle at all. I've got them finishing in eighth, firmly in the player haters position, right, like between Balcatta, Armadale, and Western Knights. And the way that I've kind of labeled it is, if you can beat those three teams home and away, then you should be challenging for the top four. With that said, boys, that is the end of it. We've gone in. It's been a bumper podcast to come in and preview the entire season. Is there any more for any more? Do you have any top goal scorer predictions? Any naughtiest boy predictions? Naughtiest team predictions? If I can put you on the spot.
You know I tip Perth Glory for naughtiest team every year,
right? I'm also tipping Perth Glory for naughtiest team every year as they get better at getting those yellow cards on the transition. Sorry, John, but I think that's awesome game management you're teaching these youngsters.
I'm going to go for Floriat as the naughtiest team, just to mix it up a little bit.
Dennis Gallen's not there anymore, Tommy.
No, but when Friday scores all of his goals from 30 yards out, he's probably going to take his shirt off and get booked. So that's going to work in my favour. No, we're just kidding, Friday. I think it's very good. I think if Robert Petkov stays fit, I think he's – I mean, obviously caveat this by saying that Darryl Nicol is obviously –
okay, is there anyone other than Darryl Nicol? So we've got Darryl Nicol who wins the top goal scorer. Is there – who comes second? Shall we do that? Who comes second in the top goal scorer?
Robert Petkov for me.
Isn't there a guy who scores goals, Kelechi, though?
Joe Knowles scores goals, and so does Liam Boland. He also scores goals. So I'm going to tip Boland to come close to challenging Darryl Nicol. Maybe even pip Darryl Nicol. But hey, I've tipped him to be top goal scorer the last two seasons as well, and loved every single second of rubbing it in your faces. So I'm not going to get off that bandwagon just yet. I've got Daryl top goal scorer and Boland next. Any crazy wild shouts for a football over the air that no one's going to hold you to and remind you at every single ground that you attend?
I think Kingsway are going to win both cups this season. I think they're going to win the State Cup, and I think they're going to win the top four cup, but I think Red Star are going to win the league.
Nice. Josh?
I think Luke Parmentier could go win the gold medal from centre-back.
Oh, I would love a gold medal from centre-back. What a throwback. A gold medal from centre-back. Oh, that'd be lovely.
I think Clark Kelty may have done it a few years ago. I'm not sure if he was playing centre-back or six at the time. If they gave the award based on proportion of aerial duels won
in the boxes, yeah, it was stupid. I sent a tip to the good people at the footballwa.net, so I'm going to see if I can just open it up and see who I tipped to win the cup and the top four cup. So you've got them winning the top four cup and the State Cup, right, Tommy?
Kingsway, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've got Stirling winning the State Cup, and I've got Red Star winning the top four cup. So the top three, I don't offend anybody. All All right, boys, that is it for us for our bumper preview podcast. Hopefully this all sounds well. Josh, any more for any more?
It's been a long show, but absolute pleasure hanging out to start the season.
Tommy, any more for any more?
Nah, it's nothing more from me, just that really excited for the season. I suppose I was a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking, oh God, it's coming around really
way too fast.
Way too fast. And I was a little bit, not flat, but I was a bit like not sure that I was ready for it. But having seen the night series at the weekend, I'm definitely primed and keen to get stuck into it. And I can't wait to watch all the games as they unfold and try and pick out some early patterns and draw some hasty conclusions for next week's podcast.
Can't wait for Overreaction Theatre next week. Guys, thank you all for listening. The same from me is just continue to be careful and be kind. The league is a quality league, and hopefully we've done the preview a bit of justice and had a bit of banter as well. So don't take it personal. Just shove it in our faces if we get it wrong. And a huge thank you to Mark Madison and the team at Peak Performance. We're looking forward to having them out every week. Remember to rate, like, subscribe, and share, and all of that good stuff. It actually really does help us in terms of making sure that we appear in our searches. And the last one is for the players out there. If you get the Peak Performer of the Week, you get a voucher for your team and for yourself. How good would that be? Take care, everybody. Look after yourselves, and all the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.